This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, and we're inviting you to stay tuned now for the next few minutes to hear another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message from God's Word on the Old Trailblazer. Yes, we're the Old Trailblazer, and I appreciate you tuning in. I wish you'd stay with us the rest of the time. We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the Lord is blessing the work. Folks are writing, telling us how much they appreciate these messages, little old simple messages. We don't know how to preach. We don't know how to do anything. Just a simple old cornfield definition is what I say of folks. I'm just an old corn pone raised down here in the South, raised out there on a farm where I was so green the geese followed me around, but the Lord saved me. Oh, listen, don't you like the butts of God? But God saved me. But God called me. But God awakened me. But God dealt with my heart. But he saved me. And I praise the Lord for it. So we're happy to have you with us day by day as we bring these messages. And as I said, we're going to keep bringing them to you as long as the Lord gives us the opportunity and gives us the wherewithal to bring them to you. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you praying for us. Listen now, let's get back to our study. Christ is spoken of as a faithful witness. And the Apostle Paul said, we're counted faithfully in Christ, not in ourselves. Christ died and was resurrected and now liveth to die no more. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore. The word prince, we're going to look now at the prince of the kings of the earth. The word prince here means ruler. Anywhere you see prince, it means a ruler. He is a ruler of the kings of the earth. The entire book of Revelation is the unveiling of the ruling, reigning king, the Lord Jesus Christ, and shows us how he will take the kingdom of this world by the scepter of force and rule it with a rod of iron. There's written on his vesture and on his thigh the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, according to Revelation 19:16. He who only thinks of Christ as the lowly Nazarene, which so many people do today, they do not know the Christ of Revelation, nor the Christ of the New Testament. He came the first time as a suffering servant, but he will come the next time as a warlord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's look at these words now. Unto him that loved us, or loveth us, God so loved that he gave. God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. God has loved his elect from before the foundation of the world. In Jeremiah 31:3, we read, he loved us with an everlasting love. Oh, my friend, in speaking about the pardon of God in a message recently, it dawned on my heart that those pardons, that pardon that the Lord grants us is an everlasting pardon. The Lord never takes back his grace. The Lord never takes back his mercy. The Lord never takes back or revokes his pardon. No, we cannot do one thing to cause the Lord to revoke our pardon. He loved us with an everlasting love. And then in Isaiah 45, he said he saved us with an everlasting salvation. Isn't that grace? Isn't that grace, my friend? Can't you rejoice? Can't you cry, praise the Lord? Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Trailblazer, for reading that verse. He saved us with an everlasting salvation. Then in Hebrews 13:20, he says he's kept us with the blood of the everlasting covenant. Did you get those words? Do you know what everlasting means? Everlasting, I know what it means. And then I read those verses about everlasting damnation, everlasting punishment, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And I think of those things, my friend. They ought to make you think. They ought to make every individual think. You say, well, you're just preaching doom and gloom. No, no, I'm just bringing you God's message. Perchance that the Holy Spirit would take something home to your heart and send it there as a barbed arrow into that heart of yours that you can't pull it out. The greatest thing that will ever happen to you, my friend, is to be awakened to your lost condition. You will never get over thanking me for bringing you the message, but you'll never get over thanking the Lord for sending you His message. Whoever brings that message to you, it may be the lowliest individual that you know, some small child, may quote some verse of scripture that'll go home to your heart. You'll never get over it. No, sir, my friend. No, sir. Now, he says in Ephesians 1:6, in the beloved, what love, what matchless and gracious love. Oh, and then he washed us, or loosed us. Loosed us. You know when you get a come out of the field from working out there like I did when we was a kid? And we go to the water shelf there and get the old bar Octagon soap down and pour your little water in the wash pan there out of the old cedar bucket. That soap loosens. We call it washing, but it loosens the dirt from our hands. So, just so, we are loosed from our sins. We are separated from those sins in a sense. In a measure, we are loosed. Blood redemption flows throughout the entire Bible, beginning with the 3rd chapter of Genesis, when Jehovah Jesus slew those animals, shed the blood, made coats of skin, and clothed Adam and Eve after he drove out the man out of the garden. But listen, after he drove them out of the garden, old Adam, realizing that meant what that meant, and seeing the day of Christ, called his wife Eve, the mother of all things. Let's go back there and look where the Lord slew those animals. You know, folks make fun or foo-foo the first 11 chapters of Genesis, doesn't it? The creation. No, you don't want your children. School don't want our children to believe, and they want to believe in a Big Bang theory. They want us to believe that this and that and a tadpole come to life and wallowed up on the shore and turned into an ape and then eventually into a man. But that's all of Satan, my friend. But listen, back there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned that awful sin of distrusting the Lord, disobeying the Lord opened their eyes to see that they were naked. The glory of the Lord departed from them, and they ran off down the road or the path into the bushes out there and began to pick some kind of leaves and clip them together and make a coat. Why did they do that? Because they were ashamed. They were ashamed, my friend. Oh, but listen, the Lord came and called them, Adam, where art thou? And he said, here I am, Lord. And he said, Why did thou hide? He said, because we're naked. Who told you we're naked? But listen, the Lord preached the gospel to them. Did you know God preached the gospel? God told them how the Lord saves a sinner, how he was going to save them. And then he took those animals. I don't know if it was sheep or goats or what it was, but he slew them. And he took those skins and made the most beautiful coats. Oh, we have pictures in books and all of where Adam and Eve was in some old rough thing hanging over one shoulder and all. That's not what it was, my friend. It was the most beautiful cloaks or coats that was ever made. They represented the righteousness of God, the righteousness of our Lord. And the Lord told Adam and Eve how that the blood must be shed. And I praise the Lord for that. I do. But listen. Then on the outside of the garden, we see Cain and Abel making their decision. Abel stood by the altar, dripping with blood, bowed his head as a sinner, and offered his sacrifice unto God, and God accepted it. Have you ever went there and saw that, my friend? Those two young men, those two boys of Adam and Eve, they were taught how the Lord saves a sinner. They were told of the blood that was shed there in the garden. They both came up together, but Cain wouldn't have it. When the day of offering came, Abel came there with his offering. He brought a lamb, just a young lamb with no spot or no blemish, tied a rope around his neck and brought it there to the altar on the east side of the garden. Then he slew it. I'm sure he consecrated it unto the Lord. I'm sure he asked the Lord's blessings upon it. I believe he did. We should do that every time we think, come before the Lord, we should thank him. But he slew that little lamb and laid it there on the altar, and the blood ran down on the ground, down through the rocks and down through the wood, and the blood was poured out, fresh red blood. What grace, my friend. When you see the blood, it means an atonement. It means a covering. And then the Lord sent down the fire and licked up the offering and signifying that he had accepted Abel's offering. But listen, later Cain came. He was in rebellion against God. He never repented. He came and brought an offering of the best of the ground. He was a tiller of the ground. He brought the turnips and mustard and peas and beans and okra and squash. All of them were beautiful and perfect. He laid them on the altar there and stood back. And no fire came. And he got mad. He became mad. I've often thought, in my own simple way of thinking, no doubt Abel had many sheep and goats. Do you know all he'd had it done was say, Brother, I need an offering. Brother, I need a lamb. Brother, I need a she-goat. Would you let me have a goat? And you know Abel would have done that. But no, he brought the fruit of his hands. And that's what folks want to do. I have folks who are working their fingers to the bone right now as I speak. Out somewhere, doing something, making something, carrying something, dipping up soup in a soup line, going to see the sick. And all of those things are good, my friend, but they don't mean salvation. You cannot work your way into salvation. You can give away everything you have. You can give away your farm. You can give away everything. It will not suffice, my friend. Salvation is by blood and by power. Abel knew, and Cain knew too. And you know also that the blood is what covers our sin. Nothing else covers the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, my friend, listen, what a gracious song. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Would that just dawn on your heart? Maybe you there bowed down under weight and load of sin. Maybe you think all hope is gone. Maybe everything is turned crossways for you. And you said there's no hope. There's just no hope, no use for me going on. Would you look to the Lord? Would you go there in his word, search his word, where he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My friend, that's what the old trailblazer did one day. The Lord gave him grace to lay all of his sins on the altar, and the blood covered them. I plead the blood. Would you plead the blood? My friend, you can plead the blood. I tell my folks here sometimes, don't pray no long prayer. Don't pray for your mama and papa and grandma and grandpa. Pray for yourself. Lord, save me. Lord, would you do that? You said that you love sinners. You said you came to call and to seek out the sinners. And I'm a sinner, Lord. You've shown me that I'm a sinner. Would you save me, Lord, for Christ's sake? Oh, I wish you would at this time. This is the old trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, saying it's always good to have you folks with us, and I wish you would write me. Let me know that you're listening. My mailing address is The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. Goodbye, and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.